Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 157. It is the week of June 13th, 2012. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe, and I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. Really glad you came along. We got a special episode this week. I've interviewed Neil Johnson, who was the sweeper, the course sweeper for the Oak Mountain 50K back on March 31st of 2012. And it's really a long overdue interview because I've been exchanging emails with Neil for quite some time trying to get this thing lined up on Skype. The main problem being that he lives in England and I live in the U.S. and the time difference just kind of caused us to do the interview on the weekend. And just, you know, we both got families and jobs and, training and all that. And it was very difficult to find the time. But we did finally find the time. I had a very nice chat on Skype. And Neil is actually from Georgia. And he has a kind of an interesting accent. It's kind of a combination of a southern gentleman and an Englishman. Reason being, because he's lived over in England for several years now, and you're going to end up talking the way somewhat around, you know, the way you are around people. I know when I go visit my relatives down in the deeper south, it doesn't take much to start talking, drawing things out a little bit. And when you come back to Virginia, people ask you why you're talking like a deep southerner. Anyway, that interview's coming up. And but before we get started on that, of course, we'll have the email bag section of the show after the interview. I volunteered at a recent race here. Just outside of town, at one of the local high schools, Patrick Henry High School. It was a Patriots 5K. It's a small race. It's held in the evening. It was held at I think it started at 7 or 6:30 Thursday about a week ago, and it raises money for the cross country team there. And they have a 5K and a little kids mile. And I got some more experience working the finish line using the time machine device and working with my good friend Bill Webb of Richmond Road Runners. He kind of lends out a race clock from time to time for me to use, and I feel that when I can help out with some of these smaller races where he can't really get anybody to come out to help volunteer, it helps with kind of that barter system that we have. But it was a lot of fun working the finish line, and I did that with my good bud Rodney. You know, he clicked the clicker when people came across, and then I just picked out the select race bib numbers and punched them in just so we can make sure we had the order right. But it was two people out there were kind of stars. One is John Dyer, and he's a local sprinter, actually. And back in 2009, you might have heard me talk about him before on the show. He's a Masters champion. Back in 2009, he came in fourth in the world at in Lahti, Finland, for the 400 meters hurdles. Fourth in the world and for the Masters track and field. Just incredible. He represented the United States, and he was interviewed. I mentioned this before, but I got to bring it up again because he was just very humbled. He was interviewed at one of the local papers here, and he was asked, you know, how he felt about, you know, coming in fourth and not, you know, coming in first, second, or third and not getting the medal. And true to form, John Dyer said, "Hey, you know, I'm fourth in the whole world." You know, that's that puts it in perspective. He didn't bring home a medal, but he's fourth in the whole world. And I see him training still. Anyway, he ran the 5K and smoked it. Also, a local track star who's headed to the high school track and field nationals championship this weekend down in Greensboro, North Carolina, at North Carolina A&T University, is Melina Richardson. She's a sophomore, a junior, be a rising senior at Patrick Henry High School, and I know her mother, and just an incredible track athlete. And wish her the best at nationals. I don't think she listens to the podcast. In fact, I'm pretty sure she doesn't. However, she did run. She didn't run the 5K. She's the one that actually is kind of the juvenile race director at the Patriots 5K. Anyway, it was nice to see all those folks out there. I saw a couple local faces, and it was a lot of fun. And again, I encourage you to go volunteer at one of your local races if you haven't done it before. It gives you a whole different perspective on what it takes to pull off a finish line and people that you need to keep the records correct. And there's some other side stories with some of the people I had contact with out there, but just not appropriate for the podcast. So anyway, let's get into the interview with Neil Johnson. Neil Johnson's a new ultra runner, but he's not a new distance runner. He ran the Marine Corps Marathon, I think he said, back in 1998. So he's been running a long time. However, the ultra running is somewhat new to him. And he kind of stumbled onto it. He said he'd been listening to the podcast for quite some time. And he was listening to a particular episode. And he was going to be visiting, I believe, his father down in the Alabama area. And he got inspired by listening to one of my podcasts, which is what he said, and he says that during the interview. He was going to sign up for the Oak Mountain 50K, and when he got to his dad's house, he apparently travels between the U.S. and the U.K. quite a bit. He'll be over here in a few weeks, he said. Make a long story short, he said he got inspired to sign up for the 50K, got on the website, found that the race was full. Even tried to talk his way into being registered, but being that it's at a state park, I mean, he's going to say all this in the interview, so I don't want to ruin it. However, that's how he ended up being the sweepers, that he was offered, hey, well, you can sweep the course and pick up the flags. And that's how he was able to participate, and he had an excellent experience, and he's going to talk all about it in the interview, which we did on Skype. Audio quality is pretty good. You get used to it. I just cranked up the volume a lot and did a little test with them once we got hooked up through Skype, and it worked out pretty good. So he's been so inspired that he wants to sign up for another ultra marathon, which is later this year. He'll talk about that. And I met Neil through the podcast. So that's how I know him. And I've got another friend in another part of the world, in the United Kingdom. And, then after that, after the interview, we'll get to the email bag section of the show. So sit back and relax, or if you're out there, getting some miles in, keep your head down and keep plugging forward. And, let's listen to the interview with Neil Johnson here on the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. All right. This week, we're very happy to have, Neil Johnson from the United Kingdom on for an interview. He was, the race sweeper for the Oak Mountain 50K, which was back on March 31st. Of this year, and he has kind of an interesting story about how he was able to sweep that race. And so, Neil, welcome to the podcast, and I know it's been kind of hard getting for us to get together on Skype here to talk about your experience with our schedules and being that we're on different parts of the earth, but welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. Appreciate you coming along.
Thanks very much, Dave. I'm glad we could finally do it. And let me just say, I'm flattered to be on the podcast. I'm a long time listener.
Well, I appreciate that very much. It's a lot of fun to do it. You and I have talked about some of the questions that I wanted to ask about that race. And but if you don't mind, would you kind of talk a little bit about yourself and your background in running and how you ended up over in the United Kingdom?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm from Columbus, Georgia, just like Chris, the guy who was on a few weeks back. And I met my wife when I was at college. I went to Georgia, and in the 80s, and when I graduated, I moved to the UK. I've been here since 89. Then I did a 5-year stint, you know, as a foreign transfer back to Atlanta, which was a funny coincidence, from 92 to 98. And then I lived in Brazil for 97, which is a whole other story. Then I came back here in 98. Now, running-wise, I'm very, very, very much an amateur novice to all kinds of running, really. I ran a marathon in 98, the Marine Corps Marathon, which I really enjoyed it, but I found it really difficult. I remember coming across the finish line and throwing up within about 5 minutes, and I kind of swore to myself I'd never, ever run another marathon again. And I stuck with that for a while. And I guess, you know, as I got older and had kids and I had less time for doing other activities that I like to do, running was something that was just easy. You put your shoes on and go. And I used to travel with my job so I could run almost anywhere, you know, wherever I traveled. I got intrigued with longer distance running. A friend of mine was an ultra runner and he ran UTMB, the Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc in France. And he was telling me about it. I couldn't imagine that someone would start a race on a Friday night and run until Sunday morning. It was just mind blowing. So this guy, he loaned me the Dean Karnazes book, his first book, and I read that, and I read the Chris McDougall book, which was about kind of barefoot running and Scott Jurek running with the Tarahumara Indians. And I just found it really fascinating. And this guy got me into trail running, which I enjoy, and the combination of being fascinated with ultra running, which didn't really equate to me wanting to do it, I have to say, but once he turned me on to trail running, I was kind of hooked. I really enjoy the scenery and you know, just really just beautiful scenery and being out in nature. And I got all over that. And then I did it for maybe 6 months, just running with no purpose, no races, nothing. And I thought, you know, gosh, I might as well do something. You know, I got fit enough where I could run, you know, 10, 12 miles on the trails. So I signed up for a 20-mile race. And again, I was still fascinated with this ultra running stuff. So I listened to a couple of podcasts, and that's when I came across yours, which I, you know, I think I've said in an email. I like running in the center of the universe because, as you say, you know, in your intro, you're an everyman, ordinary guy, and I can relate to that a lot better. And you know, I think you're a similar age to me, you know, young. And I just thought, so I listen to your podcast, and I travel a lot. Like I said, I'm in the car a lot. So I download it, and I probably listen to it, you know, within a week after you release them. And I'd signed up one night. I signed up to run a 20-mile trail run. I thought, well, this would be great. And here in the UK, and within I think 2 weeks before that race, I kind of overtrained. I ran a 20-mile trail run in training, and I thought, you know, it's not really going to be much of a challenge. And I heard your podcast, and you were talking about somebody in your email bag, a guy. I think it was Tom from North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. And you mentioned he was running the Oak Mountain 50K in Birmingham. And I thought, hold on a minute. I had already planned a trip to go back to visit my folks in Birmingham. And I love Oak Mountain. I used to always take my kids there. It's a fantastic state park. And on a wild hair, I thought, I'm going to sign up for that. It was a Friday night. I was coming home from work listening to your podcast. And I got myself all kind of G'd up for it and excited about it. Went straight home, went online, and I saw that it said you know, the entries are closed. It was full. And I think it was about 125 runner, something like that. So I emailed the race director, and I asked them if they had a waiting list or anything like that. And I'll be honest, I played the old card of, well, I'm flying in from the UK. But it didn't work as such. But the race directors for that race are Scott Parker and Jackie Parker. And Jackie emailed me back. She was very nice, and she said, you know, we can't take any more. The race is full. We're very strict about that. And various, you know, it's in a state park, et cetera. But she said, you know, you how would you feel about sweeping the race? You know, you get a T-shirt, and you don't have to pay, and you come down. And I thought, well, that sounds great. And I asked her, you know, sweeping, I've never done it before, so if you tell me what to do, you know, I'll try my best, no problem. And the big thing for me was they allowed me to run the whole course and sweep, which was a little nerve-wracking because I'd never run that distance. So I didn't want to, you know, fail in my job as a sweeper because I couldn't cover the distance. But in looking at the cutoff times, it was like 9 hours. And I felt pretty sure that, you know, but as I broke that down, it was about 2 hours for every 6 or 7 miles. And I just kind of couldn't imagine not doing that. So,
now had you done a 50K before that point?
No.
Your first. Okay.
That was the first. I did this 20-mile trail run in early March, and then that marathon in 98. That was it. And I did a couple of half marathons and stuff like that. Well, two half marathons to be exact. So it was a big, you know, it was kind of a daunting prospect. I got really excited about it, and I went out, they said in the email to be sure to bring a backpack because you've got to pick up flags and pie plates and
okay.
So I went out and bought all kind of stuff and ordered S caps. And so I was really a novice runner. I'd never really run over about 4 hours. And I guess we'll get into it further in the interview, but I would say overdid it on all the gear and the nutrition and stuff like that. So, you know, I learned a few lessons. But I say it was a great, great race.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next was, to ask you about your fueling strategy for, I guess it took over 9 hours on the trail. How long did it take you to cover it?
It took 9 hours, and it's hard to say. If you look at the results and you look at the last finisher, Carlos Zapatos, I was running with him coming in, and he was technically a little bit over the cutoff when he came into the finish line. So it was 9 hours and 20 minutes or something like that.
9:33 is what the results say.
Right, okay. And what I did is I waited until they started. I think I left at 20 minutes, and then I started from the starting line. So, you know, I guess that adds a bit more, or takes a bit off my time. But Yeah, it was a long day, a long time to be on your feet. I have to say, my legs were pretty much shot at the end of it.
What time did the race start?
I think it was 7:30 in the morning.
Okay, so you finished in, I guess it wasn't dark.
No, it wasn't. You know, this, I would say about this race, for me, it was just a dream. So, one, the race directors were super nice. And at the end of it, they have a cookout. And, you know, included in your fee, which I didn't have to pay as a sweeper, but that you get hot dogs and hamburgers and a lot of food and beer and Coke. So all the beer you can drink. Which I have to say, I didn't mind that after being in the hot sun for 9 hours.
What?
So it was good. And the other thing about the race that I mentioned, I like the scenery, Oak Mountain. If anyone's ever thinking of running that race, it's absolutely gorgeous. All the people I met there did point out that it's a particularly hard race. It's very hilly, and I have to say, it's there's a lot of steep inclines, and even worse, downhills. I mean, some of it you have to use your hands. You can't actually do it on 2 feet.
Oh wow, that is pretty significant. Well, what did you carry along with you? You mentioned S caps. Did you take part at the aids? I mean, you didn't run on these people's heels, I presume.
Yeah, I did. So what I did is I had in a backpack. Gosh, I had a whole bottle of S-caps. Again, inexperienced, I probably just could have put a handful in there, but I had this whole bottle rattling in there. I had a bottle of Gatorade, which I just filled up at the aid stations. I had my own fueling strategies. I think I heard you mention once that you just get sick of sugar drinks and gels, and I'm the same. I don't really like those gels, so I've made myself hummus and pita bread, which I use in, you know, when I do my trail runs here, which was fine, and also boiled potatoes and salt. So I had those in like a Ziploc and some trail mix. I had a picnic, and it was too much stuff. It didn't bother me that much carrying it, but I didn't use, you know, 15% of it.
So, that comes with experience, I guess. Plus, I guess you didn't really know how, you know, if the aid stations were going to be depleted of supplies when you got around to them or not.
That's right. Yeah, and they weren't at the beginning, but by the end they were fairly depleted. But I, the other thing, you know, as you say, it comes with experience. I think I ran about the first 14 miles and then decided to have something to eat, and then I ate probably too much in one go, and nearly got sick on the trail. Luckily, I was just running by myself, picking up flags. But you know, there was the middle miles part of that race were pretty painful for me because I'd just overdone it on the potatoes and the hummus.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, tell me about some of the people that you met along the way. You mentioned Carlos. I guess he was at the end, but
he was at the end. Yeah. Now, well, okay, I'll take you through it. At the beginning, I went, and you know, as a sweeper, you're kind of in the inner circle. So I got to meet Jackie and Scott Parker, the race directors, and they were very friendly. And the good thing about it was they told me that the first leg, the first sort of 6 or 7 miles up to the first aid station, they were going to have another guy run with me, another sweeper, which it was great. I was so grateful for because I'd never done it before. And he's a race director at the Mount Cheeha 50K in Alabama and also the Pinhoti 100K in Alabama. And those are real hilly ones. And the 100K one's actually an official qualifying race for UTMB in France, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So he was a real interesting guy, and he kind of showed me the ropes. And we're running along at about mile 4, and we're having a chat. And he was, you know, really nice guy. And he's kind of giving me the etiquette, you know. So he's telling me things like, "Look, if you come up on somebody, you know, don't run right up on them and say, 'Hey, you're not going to make it.' You know, just kind of hold back. And if they're definitely not going to make it, just kind of get up, see how they're doing. Don't launch straight into the, you know, 'I'm pulling you out of this race' speech. Just wait till you get into the aid station." He's just kind of giving me advice like that. And
I
said, "Oh, that's great." And I said, "Of course, you know, I'll probably forget that because we're only at mile 4 and I'm sure I won't, you know, come across anything like that until way further in the race." And about the time that those words came out of my mouth, we came up on two runners. And there was a girl just struggling at mile 4. And I thought, how on earth, what were you thinking when you signed up for a 50K race? And as it turned out, she'd flown in from Houston. She trained for the race, but she'd gotten food poisoning. She'd been up sick all the night before, so she was very, very disappointed. So that was my first pickup.
Oh,
boy. Brought her into the aid station. Then the next leg I ran with Jolina from Tallahassee. I tell you what, David, what I've kind of picked up from podcasts and reading books is that, you know, particularly in America, that the ultra run, ultra races, there's a real sort of camaraderie and community. And I'd say that that is an understatement. Everybody seemed to know each other. They're all super friendly. I was going to say ultra friendly, but that'd be a bad term. Everyone was so nice. So this Jolina, she knows, you know, the race director. She knows she's got a big gang of friends. So, you know, we had a nice chat and swept along to mile 14. That's when I overdid it on my lunch. The next aid station. And really from that point on, I was alone for the most part until I came into aid stations. I think I came into an aid station at right around mile 20. As I was coming in, you know, with my hands full of flags and plates and stuff, you know, the last stragglers were coming out. And when they saw me, buddy, I tell you, they picked it up. that sort of brought home a reality. They said, oh, here's the sweeper. And they, you know, kind of redoubled it. I also saw, I ran alone for a lot of it, which was nice, but I saw the leaders because they were, the way this race is, and I think you mentioned that Tom got lost. It's basically, you start at the starting line, you run 6 miles to an aid station, then you run across the state park another 6 or 7 miles to another aid station. There are only 2 aid stations. So what you do is you go back to the first aid station, then back to the second aid station, then back to the first aid station, then back to the starting line. That's how the race works. But you don't go over any old ground. So, okay. So it's kind of like imagine a figure eight, I guess. It's not really a figure eight, but you know what I mean? There's different paths from, you know, routes from one aid station to another.
Right.
They all cross. The tricky thing is they cross in the middle. So I think 3 times you go by this crossing point where they've got an unmanned aid station, just, you know, Gatorade, buckets of water and Gatorade and stuff like that. And I think there was some people got confused about that because, you know, you're going along and the first part of the race is yellow flags and plates. The next part, I don't know, was red flags and plates. And then it's white flags and it's blue flags. So you kind of have to remember what color you're on when you get to that crossing point.
When you say plates, where are those, arrows?
Yeah, arrows. Yeah, they call them pie plates. It's basically just a plastic plate with an arrow on it, you know, and the plate's a certain color with some wire, like a coat hanger rigged up in it. Okay. And stuck in the ground. I didn't really like those because when you pick those bad boys up, you're running along and the wind catches it and they make a lot of noise. They're just awkward to carry. But yeah, I'm not complaining. They got me the race.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, as I said, at mile 20, I left that last, well, penultimate aid station. I ran up on Carlos and I guess it's Melissa, and he was in bad shape then. The guy, he had fallen a few times. And he had blood all over him, really, all over his face. And I you know, I don't know if he had a nosebleed or what, dirt all over him. He looked a state, terrible, poor guy.
Wow.
But he, you know, he wanted to keep, I gave him some, well, luckily I had all that extra food. So he had some trail mix and some S-caps from me and kept on going. And he made it to the cutoff. I think the next aid station was 26 miles, which was the last one. And I think he made it within about 5 minutes. So they had to have a talk with him. It was almost like a, you know, when a boxer gets knocked down, the referee kind of had to assess whether he could go on or not. If that's what it reminded me of. And this guy said, you know, they decided he could do it. And so he trudged on in the last 7 miles. But that I found quite painful. And they were lovely, actually. They were nice to talk to, nice people. But my legs were really hurting then. And what I find in a long run, and when I'm in a lot of pain, if I go really super slow like that, I'm just kind of picking my legs up and plodding. I get a lot of, you know, I get soreness kind of in my groin and my hips. And I find it's better if I can just open my stride a little bit. I'm not talking about running, you know, sprinting, but just a little bit of an open stride helps, makes me feel better. And I couldn't really do that.
Well, tell me about some of your, the recovery after that. I mean, that's a long time to be on your feet. I presume you probably ran most of the time. You probably had to do some walking as well. But what was the recovery like? Because that's a long time.
I'm really glad you asked that. And most of the things I read and all the podcasts I listened to, I think that the recovery talk, it gets a mention sometimes, but I'm really interested in how people recover. And you talked a lot about it. You said you'd messed your feet up, I think, one time.
Yeah.
You had to lay up for 2 weeks. But so I was kind of curious about that. But when I got back and, you know, I had a couple of beers and a couple of burgers and hot dogs. I wasn't afraid to eat, I have to say, after that long run. But my legs were aching a lot. And on the drive home, they were aching. You know, yeah, you can't get your legs comfortable.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, terrible, but was pretty painful. I think that night I may have got a cramp in my leg, you know, in my sleep. But and the next day I didn't do any running, you know, just normal moving around. And it wasn't that, to be honest, it wasn't as bad as when I ran that marathon in 98. I had a couple of rough days after that, and I wouldn't say I felt fine, but you know, I could easily walk around, just started running. And I ran the second day after that. I did go out for a little run with my wife. She likes to run. We just did a little 4 mile slow run, which helped a lot. I'm guessing, and I don't know this, I'm not an expert, I'm guessing that the reason I didn't feel so much pain in my legs after this race, and I did after my marathon, was I committed you're not supposed to do this, I know, but the cardinal sin was I used S-caps in the race. And I've never used them before because you can't get them over here in Europe. So and I know you're not supposed to do that, but the one consistent theme you hear through all these podcasts and all the books and articles is everybody, elite and amateur, swears by salt replacement. So I just went ahead and did it. Well, and I think that helped me recover better.
Yeah, they're not going to, unless you overdo it, they're certainly not going to hurt you. Yeah, you probably could have, they probably rattled around quite a bit all day, huh?
They did. You can hear me, yeah. I actually saw a snake, which surprised me. I couldn't believe that, you know, I snuck up on anything with those pills rattling around. I have to say, I had a couple of falls myself. I think I maybe even fractured my right arm. There's a big bump on the bone still now. I mean, I had a couple of bad falls because it's a hilly race, but it is a mountain. So there's a lot of, you know, it's rocky and a lot of roots and that kind of thing. And some of those downhills, when your legs get tired, it's just kind of tough to stop yourself. So I had a couple of real whoppers. Luckily, nobody was around to see it because it was, you know, one of these stumbling, flailing arms and legs kind of falls.
So you were saying you used a backpack. Did you use a running specific backpack, or did you try something new on race day?
Well, I did test it. So I guess it is a running specific backpack, but if I'm honest, it's not a very good one. There's a brand of clothes, running gear, I guess, over here called Caramore. I don't know if you have it in the U.S. And the defining feature is it's cheap stuff. You can get a shirt for like $10, or the backpack cost me about $7. It was, oh, wow. You know, it was just really, really cheap stuff. And it was fine. You know, it was just a very small backpack, really all it was. And I didn't like it that much because it was hot on my back, and I wasn't used to running with a backpack. Now, I did a couple of training runs with it beforehand. Before I went over there. In fact, I guess I've gotten the bug now, and I've signed up for another race in August here. There's a 40-miler and it's called the Peak District, which is also hilly. And I've decided that I can't. I think the aid stations are quite far apart. So I'm in fact, after I get off of you, probably order a not a Camelback. It's one that is anyway. I'm going to order a bladder backpack.
Okay.
Which seems ideal. I can't carry enough in my bottle. I ran out. I had a run this morning, and I ran out, and that was kind of disappointing. So I will be trying that in the future, definitely.
And what's the name of that race?
It is called the Ultra Peak. If you Google Ultra Peak 40 Mile, that should do it. But it's in the UK. It's in a place called the Peak District. Peak District is kind of scenic. Any rolling hills, and it's not going to be quite like Oak Mountain, but it's pretty hilly.
Is it the High Peak 40 Mile or Ultra?
I think it's called the Ultra Peak 40 Mile, something like that.
And when is it?
August the 19th, I believe.
Okay, I think I've found it. Very interesting. I know they got lots over there. Well, let me ask you a couple. Do you think you'll do, before you end the interview, do you think you'll do the be another race sweeper again? Did you enjoy it enough where you might seek that out again? Or
you know, I definitely did. I really like that. Again, because, you know, in this case, anyway, I met, you know, a couple of race directors, and I kind of felt like I was behind the scenes a little bit. But, you know, I got to hang around after the runners started the race and had a chat with, you know, people that were sweeping or race directors, or a lot of them just friends and family who came along. And I really enjoyed it. And I say, when somebody sees you running along with the flags in your hand, they know you're the sweeper. Everybody just, for some reason, they think it's funny or cool or whatever. There's a guy, I saw a guy, he was probably coming into about mile 26, 27. He was coming into an aid station as I was leaving it, sweeping. He was the leader. And, you know, he didn't look like he was seriously focused on the task. And the guy behind him was maybe a minute behind him. And he was, you know, he was he didn't quite stop, but he kind of slowed down. Hey, sweeper, how you doing? How's it going? And having a chat with me, and I thought, man, you need to be running.
Yeah.
So, I enjoyed it, and I said to Scott Parker, I said, you know, the nice thing is they said next year, since you sweat for us, next year if you want, you can run the race. Doesn't matter if you make, there's no the limit won't bother you this year. There's no cutoff problem, and you don't have to pay, which I thought, was a very nice thing. They didn't have to do that. Above and beyond the Call of Duty. And I said to him, I said, I might even, I enjoyed sweeping so much, I might try that. But the more I thought about it, I'd like to, see how I could run that race. Because it took me 9 hours, and I don't know, I'd like to see what I could do it in.
Right.
It might be 8.5, I don't know. But, I think I'll have a go at running it next year.
Well,
I would recommend sweeping. It's a nice way to meet a lot of people. And just kind of get your head around the race. I mean, you're a race director yourself, so it's a different side of things, isn't it?
Yeah, and you also know that's when your duties are over, when you see your official end of the race. So, do you think if you are successful with the 40 miler, you would end up trying a 50 miler at some point, or what are you considering?
Well, I in my mind, yes. In my mind right now, the long farthest I'd ever want to run is 50 miles. Although I'm fascinated with ultra running, I just don't have a desire to win that belt buckle. And I think it's running through the night. Now, I might try a race that kind of starts in the evening and ends like you do your 100K. You might do that kind of thing. But
yeah,
the idea of running all night and then again all the next day, I just doesn't sound appealing. I wouldn't rule it out. Maybe one day I'll decide that's a good idea. But right now, I'm not, don't have that desire.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. The race that, wanted to thank you for having the time to do the interview. The race that Neil Johnson and I've been talking about is the Oak Mountain 50K. It was held March 31st of 2012 down in the area of Birmingham, Alabama. And the person, Tom, that he referred to was not Ashland Tom. It's actually Tom Mueller, who has his own blog at Master Competitor. I think it's .blogspot.com, and he has a very interesting post on his experience down at the Oak Mountain 50K, because he got way off course, and he talks about that in his post. So, yeah, you should check it out. I think it's, in fact, I'll tell you right now since I'm looking, I'm on my computer kind of checking things out while you were talking. It's mastercompetitor.blogspot.com. And he's pretty much a badass. All you got to do is look down through his posts and see some of the stuff that he's involved with. He's run 100-mile races, and he and I have exchanged some ideas. So, Neil, if you just hang on a second, I'll continue with you. And anyway, I really do want to thank you for your time. And
thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I'll be back with the email bag section of the show in just a minute. All right, here's the email bag section of the show, which is always my favorite personal favorite part of the show, although it was a real nice interview. And Neil, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about your experience. And that's a pretty good way to get into a race. All races need somebody to bring up the rear, and you never know who you might meet along the way. And sounds like he had a real good experience. So thanks again, Neil. I appreciate you listening to the show. Okay, well, let me get into the email bag. And I heard from Liz, and she's out of Apopka, Florida. And now, Liz, I tried to email you back. She wants a copy of the DVD, which is, I've sent it to you, Liz. Could you email me back at ashlanddave@gmail.com and let me know if you received that and if I already sent it out? I haven't really kept track of who I've sent the DVDs to and who has, because I've sent out so many of them, and I guess I probably should have been keeping track, but it's a real informal podcast, and I'm not anal about counting everything. However, so if you would email me back, because I've tried to email you two of the emails that you gave, and they keep getting kicked back, so I'm not sure what's going on with that. But anyway, I did get the email from Liz. She is not an ultra runner, but she likes listening to the podcast. She said it's highly inspirational. She wants a copy of the DVD, and if you don't know what the DVD is, it's the amateur documentary of the Graveyard 100, which was down in the Outer Banks in March of this year. But anyway, Liz is currently training for a first half marathon that's going to be in January of next year. She's currently working in Kabul, Afghanistan as a military subcontractor on a very small compound, so there's not too much room to run. She's doing most of her training on the treadmill. and she's going to enjoy the great outdoors when she comes home on vacation. Anyway, she really likes the show and hopes I keep going with it. And Liz, I certainly will. So, you know, no doubt. I think I did. You know what? I think I did send you the DVD because I think I remember putting the little thing in there asking you where to send the donation to. Thank you again for the email. Listen to the show. I really do appreciate it. And all the best over there in Afghanistan. All right, heard from Dr. Smitty, and he did a nude race in Ivor, which is it's the Whitetail Resort in all of White County, which is not too far from where he lives down in the Chesapeake area, Virginia. It was a nudist 5K. He went and ran naked. we'll just leave it at that. But he said what he did is he wore his kilt and a shirt to sign in at the office. Then he walked to the pavilion to get his race number, and what they do is they just use a Sharpie to write it on your arm. His number was 41. Then he walked back to his truck, got naked, walked around a little bit, drank some water, discussed the race course with the race director, and the course was a three looper, and he ended up coming up in second place with an incredible 19 minutes 11 seconds. He said there were four or five guys that broke 20 minutes. First female is around 22 minutes. And they all kind of mingled around afterwards and drank some beer. And apparently there was a tequila shot stop in the race somewhere in the woods. But he said he was so focused that he missed it. Said it was very well organized, and he plans on running it next year. Dr. Smitty wrote that he never felt self-conscious about the nudity, never thought about it while running since he was just focused on racing. And he said everybody had a group photo afterwards, and he's ordered the group photo, but he's not going to be posting that anywhere. he said everybody else then went to the pool. He went back to the truck, got dressed, and drove home because he had some family obligations for soccer. He said the overall vibe was really relaxed and laid back, and it reminded him of an ultra race where everybody watches all the finishers, then all the runners talk to each other, and definitely recommends it. He said they are ages 18 to 60 plus with all shapes and sizes, and he says he'll be doing that next year. So Greg, I really do appreciate the email, and I have to say that I'm not so sure that is something that I will ever do, but I definitely appreciate you having the guts to do that. So well done, and thanks for the race report. That was very informative. Heard from Richard out of the Woodlands, Texas. He said he really liked the Private Citizen episode. He reminded him of some of the early podcasts, like the one where I picked up trash from around a local pond. And he said that it's amazing and scary that Facebook has so much information on. He says he enjoys it, but he's careful about what he puts out there. And he said he's amazed about that. What is, you know, some of the stuff that his friends post. What he's going to do, he needs to know the... Okay, running-wise, he's going to be ramping up to prepare for the start of marathon training again. And he says I should consider the Rocky Raccoon Ultra, which is in February of next year. They also have a 50-mile and 100-mile option, and it's in Huntsville, Texas, about 45 miles from the Woodlands, and he'd be happy to be a pacer or a crew. Now, Richard, you know, I did email you back, and yes, that's something that I definitely would consider. I don't know anything about that course, so I'd have to do some research on it. That is a long way for me to go. Obviously, I'd have to fly down there. However, it'd be a real quick trip. But knowing that there'd be somebody down there that's willing to greet me down there would certainly be pretty cool. So I will definitely keep that in mind. And I do appreciate you calling my attention to that race, because I always thought the Rocky Raccoon was a 100-miler. It's nice to know that it has a 50-miler. Got heard from Neil Richard in reference to, he says, a question out of the blue from a listener that never emails. He wanted to know if I carried any kind of weapons when I run, and if I do, what would I recommend? I do not carry any firearms, but I usually have something else on me, and a lot of times I carry a stick if I know there's any dogs around. I run in a relatively, safe area, although I guess anything can happen at any time. But I don't, and it'd be kind of hard to run with a firearm, that's for sure. I appreciate the email, Neil. Thanks for listening to the show. Also, on a solicited email, I heard from DirtDog50K. His last podcast was about Kimba, the trail goddess, and I know who she is. I met her at a 24-hour race several years ago when she drove from Ohio to Virginia, and it was pretty cool. He interviews her on his podcast, and so make sure you check that out at Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe. Ashlyn Tom posted on the website at ashlyndave.podbean.com in reference to the iPad app he uses. You might have heard me reference this in the 5K of the race of the Ashland Railroad Run. It's called Race Splitter, and it has a couple new features. It updates the race results so you can do age group rewards while the race is still in progress. In other words, you don't have to wait until the last runner finishes. And if you miss a runner, you can manually add runners to the results. Previously, you could do this only after you download the results to an Excel file. And he says he always does a manual backup because it's hard to key in every runner as they cross the finish line, and I know that's for sure. So if you have any more questions about that iPad app, give me an email, and I'll forward that over to Tom. I don't know his email off the top of my head, but he listens to the show, and so if anybody emails in about that, I'll be sure to pass on your information. We did the 5K of the Ashland Railroad Run race series with his iPad, and he printed out results in a timely manner, and it was pretty freaking cool. So definitely check that out. And if you want to see more of that post, you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, and I think it's episode 156. Just check that out. Heard from David Williams in Australia, and he wants a copy of the DVD. He's 65 years old but still going strong, and he said he was like Forrest Gump in the 80s. He just never stopped shuffling down the road. He ran marathons as ultras as well as some shorter things. Oh, fun runs is what he calls them. Then he had a bad injury that stopped him at the end of a 24-hour track race, and he just couldn't get started going again. But he ran the length of Flinders Island in 2011, which is 74 kilometers, to raise money for Cure Cancer. That's a charity that he and his wife have supported since they lost their daughter to cancer. She was at only the age of 27. But that has been his running inspiration. And so even in the middle of chemo, his daughter would put her joggers on and head out the door, maybe if just for a half hour or just a few minutes, but she always tried. And you have to take your hat off to people like that, you know. So he is wants the DVD, and he was didn't know if he thought I could mail it overseas. But I tell you, David, after a story like that, or not a story, but you know, after that, what you wrote, I'm certainly gonna go to the post office and mail it to you, and I'm planning on doing that this week. So be looking for that in the mail, and now that I know that I've got another friend in Australia, is very nice. So thank you very much. I really do appreciate that, and thanks for listening to the podcast. I also heard from Dr. Smitty. Also said that the latest episode was killing his Facebook stock. Greg, send me your address again. I'm going to email you right now. He wants the DVD true, the DVD also. And I will put that in the mail to you, Greg, no doubt about that. Appreciate you letting me know that because I kind of forgot. I got so caught up in your naked race report, I didn't notice that you wanted the that you wanted the DVD. That's pretty cool that he did that. So, I heard from Keith. He says he lives in Austin. They have a distance challenge. It starts with a 10K in October, then a 10-mile in November, and a tough half marathon in December, an easy half in late January, and then the Austin Marathon in February. And he says since he was the only male over 75, he won his age group. and it was his fifth year doing the challenge. Well done, Keith. Let's see, what did you say? You're the only male over 75, so I guess how are you? How old are you? And also, did you get the DVD? I can't remember if I think I did send it to you. I think I need to start keeping track of this stuff. I'm going to email you right now. And I hate to do this to the listeners, but this is the only time I can keep up with what's going on with the DVDs. I got to email them back right while I'm thinking about it. Then the last two are from Neil. So that is it for the email bag section of the show. Oh, got one more from my friend Stephanie, who wanted to announce that there is a Chesty Puller Memorial Twin Bridge 10K run and Kids 1 Mile Fun Run on June 23rd, 2012. That's in West Point. And that has been going on for 5 years now, and it always seems to be when I'm on call for work. Otherwise, I would definitely go down there. She started her own running club with a friend down in King William, and it's called the Twin Rivers Roadrunners Club. And I think that's pretty cool. It's kind of a spinoff because there's a running movement happening in that rural county, and I think she's taking advantage of that. And I just think that's really, really cool. So well done, Steph, on that, and thanks for passing that on. so I can put that in the email back section of the show. So that is where we're at. This is the Running in the Center of this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, and I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it up, being that I've exceeded my time. I'll be back with another episode soon. I'm hoping to interview Ashlyn, Tom, and Rodney in reference to their 100K down in Florida, and then Rodney's redemption race up at the Mid-Atlantic North Face Endurance Challenge, which was just last week or 2 weeks ago. Trying to get that arranged, and hopefully that'll be in the next show. If not, I'll come up with some other topic. So this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.